Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 16th day of April, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Call, and we'll get back to the World War III update in a while. At least for now, though, things look like they're on hold. Israel may have gotten the message that, yeah, you really aren't as invulnerable, even with the almighty United States and its no longer so almighty Navy and others protecting you, as we've been led to believe. Because there are reports of some of the Iranian missiles that snuck through and hit their targets, including runways at the airbase, as opposed to anything that would have really hurt, may have been hypersonic missiles, meaning that the test by Iran on that score may have been successful. But all we know for now, officially, at least from Western sources, is that they're still talking about further escalation, but it hasn't happened yet. Meanwhile, though, closer to home, treason in the United States is still escalating, and this time aided and abetted by the usual rhinos. First, the straight news from the floor of the House of Traitors. The U.S. House of Representatives, sick on Monday, passed a motion to table what had been a motion to reconsider House Bill 7888, a.k.a. We Don't Need No Stinking Warrant, which passed on Friday to renew what's called the FISA 702 and allow continued warrantless surveillance, even more than ever before, of innocent Americans. And the hell with that Fourth Amendment thing. And this, writes Jordan Conradson for the Gateway Pundit, was a betrayal of Americans. Shortly before the final passage of HB 7888 last Friday, the House rejected an amendment that would have actually at least paid lip service to the Fourth Amendment from Andy Biggs of Arizona, which would have required an actual warrant, like that thing in the document called the Bill of Rights once did, to spy on Americans. However, 86 rhinos at that point turned tail and ran, voting for authoritarianism, with Speaker Sick Mike Johnson, scumbag that he's been revealed to be, casting the decisive trigger vote. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, in an interview with Maria Bartiromo over the weekend, slammed the scumbag Johnson for voting again with the far left to break the tie and, quote, abdicate the power of the purse to the Democrats in their latest spending package. Said Senator Paul, as I see it now, I'm not sure there's a difference between Mike Johnson being in charge and the Democrats being in charge. Unquote. Nah, yeah, can't hardly argue with that now, can we? And just in case you've forgotten, official intelligence documents, and that doesn't include the ones they don't want you to know about, folks, show that the FBI illegally, what else is new, used FISA 278,000 times to spy on Americans. We don't need no stinking warrant, including their political enemies, like President Donald Trump, various MAGA and Trump donors, and January 6 families. Republicans in Congress, it says, chose to screw the American people and allow continued unwarranted search and seizure of our private communications, giving the Biden-Fuhrer regime and FBI renewed authority to spy on anybody they blankety-blankety-well want to, but especially Trump and other actual Americans, as they have been doing, now this time leading up to the 2024 election, which, as you know, they intend to rig if they allow it at all. And they're listening to your phone and email, too, so they know you're talking about it. Continues the story from the House swamp. The final vote on Section 702 of the FSA, or Foreign Surveillance Act, and never forget, folks, you are foreign to their America, was 273 traitors to 147 saying no on Friday, with 126 so-called Republicans, a.k.a. rhinos, voting in favor of betraying the American people and their oath of office. On Monday, the legislation was brought back to a vote on a motion to reconsider, requested by Representative Laurel Lee of Florida and demanded by Representative Ana Paulina Luna in a recorded vote. However, this time, 117 rhinos voted with the 142 socialists in favor of a motion to table that motion to reconsider requested by House Intelligence Chairman Mike Turner of Ohio, which means the legislation now heads to the communist-led Senate, where it will almost certainly pass and then be signed into what now sadly passes for law by the mannequin masquerading as the Biden-Fuhrer. And let's start our look deeper, folks, with a reason why I rightfully called all those people who basically said to hell with the oath that I put my hand on a Bible and took before God to a constitution that I could care less about, traitors. The Fourth Amendment part of that thing that they're gang raping this time says, quote, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Well, hell, they're going to violate it, and we don't even need to tell you about it. But it goes on, and it says, no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation. We don't need that anymore either. And get this, particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Unquote. So that's the end of the amendment, pun intended. And note that the beauty of what they're trying to do is we don't have to particularly describe anything. We just want it if you've got it and you can't stop us, and we're not even going to tell you what we're getting. How's that for totalitarianism that says we know no bounds when it comes to listening, seeking, grabbing, and taking anything we feel like? And how dare you even think you can stop us? After all, what are you going to do? Conspire against us on your cell phone or send emails or even talk on to Facebook? We got you covered. And more. Because we're listening in via your doorbells and televisions, too. Unless you think we're in any way exaggerating, let's turn next to a few words from a fellow who knows better, because he was an insider and actually had to flee the country in order for people to finally realize just how far gone the entire concept of the Fourth Amendment actually is. This comes from Thomas Mitchell via Cointelegraph.com, The Burning Platform, Zero Hedge, and I hope all kinds of others. The United States NSA, once that stood for no such agency, folks, you were a conspiracy theorist, you even knew what those letters stood for, National Security Agency. Ha ha. How about Nazi and Stasi a-holes? They're only days away from, quote, taking over the internet with a massive expansion of their already gang-raping of the Constitution surveillance powers, according to whistleblower Edward Snowden. In an April 16th post to X, Snowden drew attention to the threat originally posted by Elizabeth Gauthier, co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, that warned about this new bill and how it could see the U.S. government's surveillance powers amplified to an even more extreme anti-constitutional and, yes, downright Orwellian level. She wrote this: if this bill becomes law, sick, remember, folks, it can't actually be law. It'll just be an anti-constitutional power masquerading as law. But anyway, any company or individual that provides any services whatsoever may be forced to assist in NSA surveillance. In other words, if they give the order, so long as they have access to equipment on which communications are transmitted or stored. Anything including routers, servers, cell towers, and pretty much you name it. And don't worry, they will. Currently, says the piece, the NSA can force internet service providers that have already made the deal with the devil, because, after all, it's their creator, like Gulag and Verizon, to hand over sensitive data concerning what are called NSA targets. Look in the mirror, you'll see what they mean. However, Gauthier claims that through an innocuous change to the definition of what they call electronic communications surveillance provider in the FISA 702 bill, Big Brother could even go far beyond their current scope and force nearly every company and individual that provides any internet-related service whatsoever to assist with NSA. Unconstitutional, we don't need no stinking warrant surveillance. Said the story, that sweeps in an enormous range of U.S. businesses, at least while they still exist, that provide Wi-Fi to their customers and therefore have access to equipment on which communications transit. Everything from barbershops, laundromats, fitness centers, hardware stores, and dentist offices to, pretty much, do you have a Wi-Fi in your house? And remember, they're already doing it to your phone. Whether you know it or not, why not to the rest of the things that communicate via your Wi-Fi? And here, folks, I'll mention just one or two more things that you probably haven't thought about, but trust me, they have. Do you have a solar system that you're connected to the grid, but it's supposed to be there just in case you ever needed it, or maybe so that you can sell power back to the public utility? Well, guess what? They know about it, it's listening to you, and if they decide that they don't want you to have it whenever you think it might be most necessary, well, you're not going to be able to stop them on that score either. And that goes for your home thermostat and anything else that Alexa or whatever the new AI you're letting in can control. Gauthier called all of those things surrogate spies, and the bill has seen some strong pushback from both sides of the so-called political aisle, with all kinds of people recognizing correctly that the bill violates citizens' once constitutionally protected rights. Actually, what it does, folks, is just grant powers to government that it has absolutely no constitutional authority whatsoever to ever exercise. And famous leftist Senator Ron Wyden described the bill as terrifying, said he would do everything in his power to prevent it from being passed through the Senate. He's an honest leftist, folks, not a totalitarian. Quote, this bill represents one of the most dramatic and terrifying expansions of government surveillance authority in history, unquote. And by the way, the bill is scheduled to come up for its slam dunkie in the so-called Senate on April the 19th. And there's an ironic date for you. The shot heard around the world was fired on that date. Back then, now to some of the politics surrounding the descent. It looks like it's in free fall at this point of the once free United States into unbridled tyranny and despotism with the willing help of wolves in sheep's clothing or rhino drag. Here's a view of the American sausage-making from the British Daily Mail, which begins by saying that a fiery Mike Johnson, so-called Speaker for the Traitors, insisted he won't resign from speakership, even, of course, if they catch him with his hand in the traitorous till. "I am not resigning," he told reporters on Tuesday. "It is, in my view, an absurd notion," he said of the motion to vacate. The problem is, the motion to vacate, originally put in place by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, has now been joined by Representative Thomas Massie of Kentucky, who said he now supports the effort to strip Johnson of his speakership after he asked him to resign. The scumbag seems to be taking heat from actual Republicans over a number of his traitorous decisions of late. The emphasis of the Daily Mail piece is on the decision to bring four foreign aid and national security bills to the House floor. Well, at least one of them isn't really national security, folks, unless you turn it upside down, as we've been pointing out here. Those bills would fund Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific, and they don't bother to care whether or not the United States is being invaded. They're not even going to put in the faux border security measures that we all know are just a sellout to the Biden Fuhrer. Said Massie to reporters, he's going to lose more votes than Kevin McCarthy. At least one Democrat has said that he would vote against the Green motion, though, which would change the math for how many GOP votes Johnson could afford to lose. Massie had earlier urged Johnson to pre-announce his resignation, as former Speaker John Boehner did, so, quote, we can pick a new speaker without the House ever being without a GOP speaker, he wrote on X. And he added, there's no shortage of people, and this is an understatement, folks, who could be a better speaker than Johnson. Your dog, folks, is at least loyal and probably knows more about the Bill of Rights and economics, too, than Johnson. Said Massie, ironically, quote, we went through this last fall. It took 2 days, and then we ended up with somebody nobody in America had ever heard of, unquote. And, of course, we got another traitor as well. All four of these obnoxious bills would, in fact, if Johnson gets his way, be lumped together under the same rule to advance him to the House floor for final slam-dunk passage this week before they go on to the Senate. And conservative hardliner, says the Daily Mail, have already warned Johnson against attaching any Ukraine funding to an Israeli aid bill, saying, quote, under no circumstances will the House Freedom Caucus abide using the emergency situation in Israel as a bogus justification to ram through aid to Ukraine with no offset and no security for our own wide-open borders, said the Freedom Caucus in a statement on Monday. But Johnson has pushed forward on all of the leftist wish list, while Green's resolution to oust him has loomed over his head since last month. And as the piece puts it, with the Republican razor-thin majority in the pretty much communist House, Johnson can only afford to lose three Republicans and still keep his job. Unless, of course, the other communists on the other side of the aisle, and they very well might, folks, vote to save him. Here's where the socialist bent of the leftist Daily Mail shines through. Hardline Republicans, they said, have used the tactic of voting against the rule to paralyze, oh, how awful of them, House business 7 times during this Congress. And you know what, folks? Just as we saw with the reauthorization to prevent the oh-so-unthinkable shutdown of at least a tiny fraction of Big Brother's government just briefly while they decided on how they were going to print up more money without end, good grief. Well, if they were to shut down without a speaker and no business was to get done, can you imagine anything more horrid? Well, yeah. In fact, we're seeing lots more horrid stuff happening every day. And with none of it being prevented by the House, but a whole lot of it coming from there. I can't help but hearken back to the old saying from the era of Thomas Jefferson that the life, liberty, and property of no man are safe while the United States Congress is in session. They knew it then. And that was when the Congress wasn't nearly as, out of control, far left, traitorous, and downright totalitarian as it is today. I can think of a lot worse things than simply having it shut down for a while for lack of a so-called speaker. Oh, yeah, and here's one of them, this also from Zero Hedge, and the Heritage Foundation and what they call Project Oversight, which posted an image on X of what they say is a flyer from an NGO. That means a traitorous public-private partner, a.k.a. non-governmental organization, operating in Mexico, encouraging the invaders, some of them are called migrants, Big Brother likes to call them newcomers, to vote for the Biden Fuhrer once they arrive in the United States and join up with their cells. part of the flyer said, quote, reminder to vote for, and I'm not going to read this the way they put it, you know, the scumbag with a mask and a diaper, when you're in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term. Even if he doesn't last that long, we'll have somebody that can pretend to be him and walk into walls to stay open. The Oversight Project said the flyer was originally discovered by a muckraker journalist, you've probably heard their names, while touring the site of the Matamoros Resource Center in Mexico. The flyers appear to be handed out when illegal aliens use the RCM for assistance in coming to the once-free United States, said the group. And the founder of RCM, Gabby Zavala, told one of those journalists outright that she's trying to flood the U.S. with as many illegals as they possibly can before President Trump can be reelected. As you probably are aware, but will repeat anyway, RCM has connections with a number of organizations, including Soros-funded nonprofits operating in the United States, via the Open Society Foundation, and documents from Judicial Watch also show Alejandro Mayorkas, the bald-headed Bond villain traitor, meeting with NGOs and facilitating the border invasion. Hey, there's a shocker. Notice that his impeachment is still in place, but the traitor Speaker Johnson hadn't done anything with that either. No, we've got billions to fork over to defend other people's borders while we destroy your Fourth Amendment and other once constitutionally protected rights. And from there, folks, lest we think that it's only the Fourth Reich that's suffering these kind of traitors from within, the descendants of the Third Reich are seeing something very similar, courtesy of Zero Hedge and some European sources, notably Eugypius.com. The transport minister of Germany has threatened Germans there with, quote, an indefinite weekend driving ban in order to meet the absolute bull you know what so-called climate change emission targets. You know, it's a big deal, says the beginning, because this piece has even made it into the Anglophone press. German transport minister warns of weekend driving ban, says the Telegraph. Even Politico says German minister threatens indefinite driving bans on weekends. Reuters, likewise. And while they ultimately intend to take away not only your cars, but every vestige of freedom you thought you still had, that is not the central point of this piece. And no, it says, they don't really intend to take your cars away, at least not right away. Amazingly, not even the Greens currently want to do that. For once, the story is not about German authoritarianism or woke insanity or most of those things. Rather, it's about how nobody can really bring himself to care about the climate anymore, says the piece. Not even our forward-thinking, oh-so-progressively-minded, environmentally responsible, and much more so than you are, political establishment. And for the backstory, you have to go all the way back to the distant past, the pre-COVID pandemic era, when aggressive climate legislation was popular even with so-called center-right voters like the CDU in Europe, and before the electorate had a taste of what green policies like the draconian home heating ordinances really feel like when they hit home. And yes, back in those blissfully ignorant halcyon days when the child saint Greta Thunberg was cutting class to save the earth, Angela Merkel's neo-fascist government passed the Climate Protection Act. And that law mandates a 65% reduction in helpful CO2 emissions compared to 1990 levels by 2030, an 88% reduction by 2040, and an utterly insane as well as unrealizable, unless you kill a whole lot of people, and they intend to do that, carbon neutrality by 2045. In the near term, the Climate Protection Act, CICT, also establishes maximum annual emissions for various economic sectors, intended to destroy them individually, it would seem, and should a given sector exceed that maximum, the responsible ministry must submit an ominous action program to bring things back onto the deadly target. Says the piece, and this time, very much not tongue-in-cheek and correctly, the Climate Protection Act is archetypal climate nonsense. Politicians like to take credit for doing something, it's in caps, about the climate, but because doing something amounts to massive economic restrictions, that's an understatement. It's suicide, folks. And drastic interventions in daily life, they'd prefer not to do something, at least not do that something themselves. Far better is to pass legislation committing future governments to do something and then let them deal with the mess and the fallouts. That way you can reap the short-term rewards of being tough on something idiotic like carbon emissions without bearing direct responsibility for all the chaos that actually being tough on carbon and the people that produce it would unleash. And also, as time marches forward at a steady pace, I'm sure, says the author, that 2030 sounded like an unimaginably distant date when it was floated back at the Paris Accords in 2015, but now it's merely 6 years away, and that's becoming a big, big problem for the alarmist totalitarian climatists. You could even say that Merkel's Climate Protection Act has bequeathed the hapless Scholz government a small collection of ticking time bombs that they're now at least somewhat interested in trying to defuse. One way to do this is to revise the Climate Protection Act before its strict sector-based emission limits force one of those deadly action programs, but in the meanwhile, they've been studiously ignoring the requirements, which is why the Minister of Economic Destruction, Robert Habeck, can be found complaining back in June that no cabinet ministers were actually complying with the idiotic, and I put that word in there, folks, Climate Protection Act emission limits anyway. Still, the fly in the ointment is the nutcases calling themselves the Green Party, who are as crazy as their oblivious, out-of-touch, upper-middle-class urbanite constituents, and who still think it best to block government efforts, however temporarily, to defang Merkel's odious law. So, with all of that for perspective, in a fit of frustration, says the piece, the Liberal Transport Minister Volker Wissing therefore warned that if no Climate Protection Act reforms were possible, he might be forced to do the unthinkable and impose drastic interventions on motorists, including those odious weekend driving bans. And the letter he wrote warning the heads of the SPD, Green, and FDP parliamentary factions was that if the amended Climate Protection Act doesn't come into force by 15 July, the ministry will be obliged under current law to present that action program and ensure compliance with the annual emission levels for the transport sector in coming years. You believe that climate BS? Do not drive to me to complain. And just like that, says the piece, climatists are falling all over themselves to reassure good Germans that, no, don't worry, driving is just fine. Nobody really wants to take away your cars. But maybe we will just institute speed limits on the Autobahn instead. And listen to this load of, well, cow farts from the SPD. Scaremongering with far-fetched proposals won't help climate protection in the transport sector at all. Quite the contrary. The proposal does not further our common goal of reducing those dreaded, oh-so-awful CO2 emissions, but it contributes to unnecessary uncertainty for the people in our country, said Bundestag SPD faction leader Detlef Müller. Says the author, it's just so entertaining to read some right-thinking lunatic like Mueller insisting up and down that literally banning driving does not further our common goal of reducing CO2 emissions. Well, it's really a common goal, folks, only if you limit your own CO2 emissions to the point where you addle your brain. Really, we're at the point where if you believe this bull, you know what? These are the kind of idiots who would soon accept the fact that we have to limit your ability to out-pee. Because if CO2 emissions are bad, well, so are H2O emissions. And therefore, if we don't let you drink any water, that'll cut down on what you emit from the other end of your body, too. You buying any of this? I hope not. Continues the author, they're arguing, folks, about how they must curtail the ability of the German people to emit carbon dioxide. Perhaps breathing out will be next. Says the author, maybe we better add avoiding political suicide to the long and growing list of things. And he lists a whole bunch of even politically correct stuff here that are more important than climate change. And it's becoming a very long list indeed. Well, folks, that's true because just about anything that's actually even remotely true or arguably not a bald-faced lie is more important than man-made climate change. Certainly the part that amounts to non-existent man-made global warming, although geoengineering to fight it is coming pretty close to destroying the planet differently. And you're not going to hear about that, nor are they going to try to curtail it in the least. In fact, it'll be an excuse for more of the hair of the dog, and you already know that. Now here, folks, the author fails and falls back into liberal gutless think. The problem, he says, is not only that none of those things, like speed limits, which has about the same appeal for Germans as banning guns does for actual Americans in the United States, and about equal chance of achieving any of the stated goals, things like we need more public transit, well, none of this amounts to the action program to sink vehicle emissions post-haste. And there's no money for any of it anyway. Wrong. Well, at least he gets this right, and nobody really believes that more charging stations will save the planet. Okay, well, even idiots should be able to see that. The author suggests the problem is we're just pretending that we're still doing something. And no, folks, the problem is much deeper. It's that we're pretending to do something absolutely idiotic and not recognizing that it's even doing the very wrong thing on top of that. And that's why, as he does say correctly, this will at least occasionally be entertaining. You know what, folks? It may even help a few people to start to see through the lies. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.